Hey, everybody, welcome back. Talk back at the Positive Mind here in Fun Drive season. Thank you, Reggie, for that intro. Yes, almost 60 years we've been here, and we need your contribution today. We are on an expanded edition of the Positive Mind. We are very appreciative of the time. We count on your donations. We're going to make it very easy for you today. 212-757-4488. But we are the Positive Mind. We have guests today back in the studio bringing you, by the way, ideas, concepts, and guests. Try and help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio, Nasima Diane Deemer.
Hey, everybody.
And an old friend.
Yes.
Hey there. What's up? Wait, does anyone there know my voice at all?
I don't know.
I'm sure they do.
It's our good friend Julian Gioiello.
Hey there, Julian Gioiello here in the studio, just helping out today just because I just love the show so much.
Thank you,
Thank
Ben.
You for being back. You've been very busy. You've been a very busy man.
Been running
around. Singing
just a little bit.
Not just acting, singing and acting.
Yeah.
Poetry is next, right?
I guess there's a little bit of poetry in both of those things. I like to pretend that sometimes I'm writing stuff, but who knows?
Yeah.
Well, we're glad to have you back. Thanks for handling everything for us today. We have exciting show, you know, today. Are you on high alert?
Yes.
It seems like our city is on high alert.
Yeah.
Are you as an individual on high alert? Have you been on high alert for a long time? How long? Let's assume you're on high alert. What happened in Times Square last night?
Yeah, a bunch of people ran for their lives.
Can we explain a little bit to people that don't know what happened
in Times Square? You know, there's a crowd of people as usual, and a motorcycle backfires, I guess multiple times, and people immediately, because of what's been happening in the news, they ran, and I think people probably got hurt. They ran into theaters. They disturbed shows. It was like mass hysteria.
I had a friend who texted me and my friend last night and said, I'm hiding out in Forever 21 right now because there's a shooter in Times Square.
Yeah,
that wasn't
totally
even...
No
and
doubt.
That's not what happened. You know, we're not trying to alarm you. That's actually
right.
Not what happened.
No.
There was just a motorcycle, very loud sounds, but in Times Square, I mean, amongst what's happened in the events last couple of days.
It's probably the safest blocks in New York City, Times
Square. I was going to say, I mean...
There was a big concern because of what's been happening lately, and we are all on high alert. It's natural for our system to go there. Mm. We're kind of witness trauma is something that's very real. When we watch the videos, when we see the news, we kind of become witness to things that we wouldn't necessarily be witness to, and that can really work inside your nervous system and make you very, very much on edge, on alert.
How long do you think this will take for people to get over? You know, because I'm wondering if because of the shootings in Texas and in Ohio, that people were especially vulnerable last night.
Yeah.
To scatter and flee. I mean, I wonder.
Yeah. I think it will, you know, it will probably, you know, hang in the air for a couple of weeks, and then naturally we go back to our to our status quo.
Right.
And the whole movement towards people coming together, coming individuals and stuff, vigils, is kind of part of the healing process. Helps us start to come together in groups and feel safe again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a process, and some people don't get over it. Some people are really, you know,
right. And it's also, I mean, not to be the downer here, but like this is ramping up in how common it is. It's
right.
And it's the status quo is a little bit more this instead of not this, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And
so
we're building kind of a cultural resilience to it in a strange way, or tolerance of it too, because again, it could totally stop the culture in its tracks, but usually it doesn't. It stops some people, not others. People do keep going. There's always the phrase.
It didn't stop people last night.
It didn't stop people last
night. Everybody. There was nobody who stood still.
No, but those people still came out to Times Square, to a public space.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it doesn't stop you from moving into your life and doing your thing. Some people it does. It does stop them in the tracks, stop them from going to those places, taking the subway, going into public because they're afraid of being shot. So there is a way that culturally we're building a resilience to this. I wish we didn't, but we do. And, I mean, 9/11 helped us with that as well. I mean,
especially New Yorkers. I mean, New Yorkers have a specific sort of resilience, bravery, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
We've been through this before.
Yeah. I mean, I remember there was like there was a bomb scare a couple of years ago, and people kind of were just like, you know, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And you were like, wow.
Well, in the end, yeah, that's what you kind of have to do. You have to establish that right now, right here, I'm actually okay.
Right.
And not everybody is out to kill me. Mm. And you really have to determine that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go.
We're going to be talking about all of this today for at least the first hour. We're glad we have 2 hours today. We're talking about our two premiums today. One is going to be a book that we talked about last week, Waking the Tiger, with Peter Levine, and his interview with Armand DeMille. We're also giving you the download of that interview. And we're also, for $40, the book Waking the Tiger and the digital download of Armand's interview with Peter Levine. And then for $125, you'll get that plus an interview with Nassima, or a session with Nassima. And she'll
60
be
minute session, yeah.
She'll be outlining what's included in that session. You know,
yeah,
so that's one premium, but I wanted to say, you know, some people have still not gotten over 9/11. I mean, people have not been the same since 9/11.
Yeah, and I think that the continued sort of ramping up of violence in our culture since then, I mean, because it was pretty, you know, quiet before 9/11, but now things are much more hot, and that trauma plus others in people's lives are just making people feel pretty vigilant, very sensitive, very scared, and especially with what's happened recently, this premium, I can really help whoever calls to start to establish just a sense of personal safety in the moment, right now, to try to sort of tap back into that, use that, because that's another truth that's out there. Yes, it's true there are people that are, you know, shooting guns and at innocent people, and there is the truth that most people are not doing that.
Right.
Mostly everybody's safe.
Right.
Mostly.
I mean, yeah, we've got 330 million people in America. Right.
Yeah, and we have to just feel that it is really true that there is danger and there is safety
so we're gonna
at
be,
the same time.
We're going to be talking about trauma today, but also how to sort of heal that, and also offering this really special experience here in the office.
212-757-4488. Do you know somebody who has still not recovered from 9/11, or have you not? You know, I think, Nassim, in some way we're all sort of traumatized. It's not a sexy word, it's not a pleasant word, but I think many of us in the city are hypervigilant and have been hypervigilant for a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's required to live in this city to be hypervigilant. And hypervigilance is one of the symptoms, we'll call it, of being in pain or of being in trauma, of having these symptoms of trauma. So, you know, people can hold on to this pain and not even know they're holding on to it for years, and then symptoms will start bubbling up. People will notice them, that your system is aroused, hypervigilant all the time.
Yeah, it's become like the baseline, and they don't realize that it's been the baseline until the baseline bottoms out, you know, and then they get really sick.
So we're going to play a little clip here, and then we're going to come back and talk to you about this and all the other symptoms that many of us are carrying. This was an interview that Armand DeMille had with Peter Levine, the author of the book that we are featuring for our premium of $40, Waking the Tiger.
I think it's really not very much known about trauma, that we can be traumatized by many seemingly ordinary experiences, ordinary events. For example, we're sitting at a stop sign, you know, waiting for the stop sign to change, or a light. And then, boom, somebody hits us from behind. And our body is jerked. And, you know, we get out, we're angry, we argue with the person, we get the license, and then we go off to work. And we actually find that we're, you know, fairly high, that we're feeling good and really charged. But, you know, some of our close people are seeing that we're being a little erratic, a little bit, you know, strange, a little bit overactive. And then a few days later, we start to crash. We start to get pain symptoms. We start to maybe even have anxiety or even depression. Now, in that moment when that car hit us and we lurched, we were thrown backwards, our bodies didn't know what was happening. And the most primitive portions of our brain, the part of the brain we share with the reptiles and with other animals, gets activated, goes on red alert, and it said, we don't know what's happening here, but you're in mortal danger. So in other words, just as though a tiger were attacking us or a bear attacking us, our nervous system is charged to that activation for life-preserving action. You know, it's the kind of energy that allows a 100-pound woman to lift the car off, you know, where her child's been trapped and pull the child out. So if we don't do something with that energy, and this is coming back to what animals do, we're stuck in this highly activated state and we don't come back to equilibrium. And it's out of this heightened, unresolved activation, this energy that didn't get used, earthquakes.
So that's talk about this energy he's talking about that gets stuck in the body. That, you know, you're at a red light or something happens. You're in Times Square last night. And the energy, you don't have a target. You don't have something to be angry at. You don't go towards this. This is like coming from behind you and you're running away. The stimulus gets trapped in the body and can later on develop into some of these symptoms. Is that right?
Yes, and if I talk specifically about last night, what might have been one benefit of last night is that people were able to run.
Mm-hmm.
Because being able to run and flee and escape is a good response, even though there wasn't an actual danger.
Right.
That really can help release that energy. Well, that's what that energy is for. Mm-hmm. That's the fight or flight energy. If you are not able to run, like you're sitting strapped into a car and you get hit, that same energy is mobilized, but you're stuck in a car. And you aren't able to go out and, like, beat up the car that hit you, which is what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to beat up the car. You know, that's not what you can do. And a lot of times after an accident, like a seemingly ordinary accident, all these energies are mobilized, but you can't do anything about it. Mm. So that energy kind of goes deep into your system.
Right.
And if there's multiple ones, like if it was childhood, we talked last week about childhood experiences that are kind of like multiple, what we sometimes call little T traumas, mm-hmm. like they weren't necessarily life affecting, but they hurt.
Right.
And we just swallowed them and we keep swallowing and swallowing, and then suddenly you end up with stomach problems.
212-757-4488. He talks about in the book, Waking the Tiger, that we're featuring as a premium, the best book on trauma out there. He
it
has
really
been
is.
Known, Peter Levine, and Armand was so grateful to have him, is the expert par excellence on trauma. And Waking the Tiger is the book. He talks in the book about 30 people that were buried underneath in a trailer, right in the book. He talks about, and that there was no escape, like you're talking about. Like they
right.
are in a car and randomly hit from the side or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the loci for the trauma. And everybody in that trailer, they did, two people found a way to get out. They dug a 12-foot tunnel.
Yeah.
And so he mentions how this person was, they were lucky to have him, stayed alert enough to be able to get out and find a way to get everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
But that he, along with the 29 others, later on showed symptoms. Some showed immediate symptoms of trauma, and one of the samples, one of the examples of trauma, is a sort of fatigue or passivity.
Mm.
And that many of the people that were gave up hope, and they just felt like there was no way it was going to be rescued and they were going to get out of there.
Right.
That
right.
they became passive. And the one person who was able to keep his sense of rationality found a way to get out, and then they all survived, but then all of them, him included, suffered symptoms of trauma, which we will talk about in a moment. But for now, we're asking you to support this station. It's midsummer. We know that. It's a little later than midsummer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we're asking you to support this station. And to, you know, if it doesn't apply to you, somebody you know who is hypervigilant, hyper-aroused, whose nervous system has not seemed to recover. For $40, you get the book plus this interview. We have many, many parts of this interview that we're going to play for you. But you'll get the whole interview with the book for $40. It is a very reduced price. And an even more reduced price is for $125, you get the book and the download plus a 60-minute session with a trauma specialist. Something called
Nassima, can you tell us more about this session, the 60-minute session that people will be getting if they call in 212-757-4488 for $125 donation, which is really, really
I'm really excited to offer this. I think it's really important right now because people are in the hypervigilant state at the moment because things are really scary right now in many ways. And in this session, I'll go through with you, I have a biofeedback machine that I'm using now that will help you see sort of the state of your nervous system. And then we'll maybe do some exercises, and then we'll look again and see how your nervous system maybe changes when you
that's
do
a really
some
unique,
simple techniques.
Unique thing. Wow. So it's going to be special for each person
really
that comes in, right?
It's,
this is not some kind of thing
really
where
unique.
It's the same for everybody. It's unique for every person that comes into your room.
Yep, and I've worked with Peter, I've studied with Peter, and he's really, he supports biofeedback a lot because it's like a real-time like indicator of how you're doing. What, you know, the breathing technique, how is that helping you? So if you've ever been curious about biofeedback, if you want to see in living color exactly how your nervous system is, how balanced or imbalanced.
That sounds amazing. Can we do that right after this show?
It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited about introducing this and bringing it to my clients, bringing it to the BAI community. We all need to understand our bodies more. We all need to understand how to work with our bodies rather than against our bodies.
212-757-4488 for this biofeedback session and trauma or release a pain.
Yeah.
I think it's a constriction, Nasima. I think the reaction, especially for men, I think is a reaction to a trauma is a constriction and a tightening.
Yeah.
We do not process or mobilize the pain very well. And so we tighten, we get a tight body frame from this. And you could see this right away, right? I mean, you can really size somebody's up physiology very quickly. And help them mobilize this pain. So for $125, you get a session with Nasima, plus the book that we will send out today with the digital download. We sent out the books on the Enneagram and Waking the Tiger from last week. Most of you should have received it. So we'll be sending out today's premiums today, immediately, so you will get it by Friday. 212-757-4488 for the book and the download for $40 and $125 for a biofeedback stress reduction session with Nasima here at the Positive Mind.
It's just going to be fantastic. I'm really excited about it. And something that Peter was saying about, you were saying about constriction. So all of this energy gets mobilized in your system, and you have to constrict sometimes, you know, because you're not, like I said, you can't beat up the car that hit you. So that starts a layer of constriction. Then you go through the whole process of, you know, legal process or insurance and all that stuff. Mm. You keep having to constrict. There's still that energy of wanting to fight back against what hit you.
Mm. And you might not even be knowing.
You
that
might
you're
not
doing
even
it at
know
that
it.
Point.
Exactly. But there's a part of your body that wants to do that because it's saying, this is the, you know, the need to make it, this is what my energy wants to either get me out of there to run. Mm-hmm. Peter talks about a client in his book where she was attacked and she, to help her in her session, her feet just started moving like a little pitter patter, almost like a little run.
Yes, he talks.
And then she starts like a full kind of like jogging, and that's what her system needed to be able to get away from her attacker. Like,
she doesn't need to revisit the scene itself.
She doesn't need to, you know, he doesn't even need to say that. But it was like just naturally what her body, like letting the impulses of the body.
Right, it's just like a
move.
Subconscious thing happening. That is the reaction to what we learned evolutionarily, right?
And the crazy thing is, like you were saying, it can become an immobility or a fatigue because, again, like,
and
I couldn't make it. Yeah, I couldn't get out. I didn't get out. I got attacked. I got, you know, all these different things happened. I wasn't able to. And so I'm like giving up, like the body kind of goes into a give up, like I can't do anything with this energy. Mm-hmm. So it's either spending so much energy trying to contain all that energy.
Right.
So it's exhausting. It's deeply exhausting. Yeah. And it's just in this sort of give up mode.
Hmm.
Something else that's really important about this book and what it teaches people, because I give this to all of my clients anyway, it is the primer. That really teaches you about what's going on in trauma in the body. And I lost my train of thought.
Let's talk about somatic experiencing, which is what he teaches. We're going to hear a little piece on this, which you are certified in.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a session for a certified somatic experience professional is in the range between $200 to $350.
Probably, yeah.
You're going to get it for Nasima, with Nasima, who's graduated all the way through the whole program. Mm-hmm. Let's hear about that, Julian.
Yeah, here we go.
Specific training that people go through to use trauma healing methodology a la Peter Levine.
Right, right. We call the work somatic experiencing. The idea is that it's based on the internal sensing of our bodies, of sensations, of how we got locked in the trauma and how we can get unlocked, how we can find the door we locked, how we can unlock the door and start to come out the door. We have training programs, and you can go to traumahealing.com, right? And they're listed. We also are doing things like for hospitals. Anna has set something up at the hospitals in Colorado. I'm going to work with a neurologist who got us to work with the pain patients in another hospital. And we're going to be presenting these things to prevent iatrogenic, unnecessary traumatization. And our foundation, which is a nonprofit foundation, the Foundation for Human Enrichment, is really to get this information out to the public, out to hospitals, out to, Head Start programs, to violence prevention programs, so that we really can get at some of these roots. I mean, this isn't the whole story. I'm not saying it is. But I am so deeply convinced that without this part, that everything else is on a shaky structure, that we really have to go to the roots of the dysfunction and the violence. And it does start early, and it happens when we're overwhelmed and when we start to experience the world as threatening, as dangerous, as bad.
And experiencing the world as threatening and bad. He mentions that
dangerous.
It's this kind of violence done to you. Obviously, if you're in a car and you're being hit, that's a violence to you. So is it always a threatening situation? Is that where trauma...
Yes. Yes. In most cases, you feel like your life is threatened in some way. And even for thinking about children, like we talked about the adverse childhood experiences, one of those questions is, was somebody verbally abusive to you? That is as threatening as somebody hitting you on some levels. Mm-hmm. If you've been disrespected or blamed all the time or, told that you're a horrible, bad person, that is life-threatening to a child. So most traumas have some sort of overwhelming, it's an overwhelming experience that was a threat to your life on some level.
I guess what you're saying, the adverse childhood experiences, they set the stage for a later a vulnerability to trauma, I would say, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
So I'm going to read a couple of what these adverse childhood experiences, see if any of you have felt this out there. Did any other parent in the household insult you, put you down, humiliate you?
Yeah.
That is an adverse childhood experience. Did a parent or adult in the household push, grab, slap, or throw something at you? Throw something. An adult throwing it down to a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old.
And let's just pause a minute. They split those into two separate things. I mean, it's an escalation.
Physical.
There's some that were insulted, some that were physical, and some who had both. And so if you had both, then you're ratcheting up the scale.
Did an adult person 5 years older than you touch or fondle you, touch your body in a sexual way, or attempt to have sex with you? If somebody 5 years old, so they're almost
five
like a parental, they're almost like a parental figure.
Yeah.
So if you have a brother or sister that's 5 years older than you in an authoritarian position, a power position, that makes you vulnerable to an adverse childhood experience.
Yeah, well, it is. And again, we said last week, if these things can happen, and if they're not repaired at the time, that's when you become more vulnerable in later stages.
So basically, every child that's exposed to any one of these, and there's 10 of them, and we're going to post them on the website, thepositivemindcenter.com, but I've only read 3 of them. Another one, did you ever feel that you were never loved by your family or thought you were not important or not special? A child needs to feel that.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they're particularly vulnerable to things like last night where nothing really happened, but everybody reacted, and most people get over it and respond. That's the typical reaction of the nervous system to respond and recover from this. But if you've had adverse childhood experiences, or you've been under undue stress for years, then you're much more vulnerable to an incident and an event. And you're what might be life-threatening to you, somebody else might not feel threatened by.
Exactly.
But that doesn't matter. It only matters if you, the person who's about to suffer these symptoms and trauma, feel threatened, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about last night, like, there could be some people who ran. It was like a crazy experience. They realize they're okay. They go home. Maybe they have a couple days of thinking about it, and they're a little shaky, and then they recover.
Are there any hidden ways that people find themselves, like, a little bit traumatized or something like that, but they don't even know it?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Ask me a little more specific.
Do most people who are suffering trauma not even know that they're suffering it?
Yes.
In that sense. Yeah.
Yeah. They, you know, it's like I think people think it's normal to be hypervigilant. They think it's normal to be sensitive to loud sounds. They think it's normal to have a startle response where, you know, you have a loud noise and you jump halfway across the room.
That's a good test,
that
right?
That is not normal.
So you sneak up on somebody and you poke them from behind. And
they should jump, but not like...
You know,
right, and that's something that a lot of kids do to each other when they're growing up.
Like,
I had a sister, and my dad would scare us, and we would see, and then all of a sudden we became much more conducive to jumping up.
That's an adverse childhood experience. There you go.
Sorry, Dad. No, but not to discount that. I mean, in a more serious manner, like, that can lead to something in the future as a
it would
as
be
an adult.
Well, to sort of speak to that point, probably after your dad did that, you guys laughed, you you know, hugged, it was a playful thing.
Mm, right.
It wasn't, because there are histories of people where they'll be happy, playful with their dads, and suddenly they get hit out of nowhere.
Mm.
So that's a different sort of situation, and that's the kind of thing that can set you up for later stuff.
And I think we all know these people that have a very exaggerated startle response, that it's off the charts, and that there is something that's going on there.
Yeah.
And those are the people that would benefit from a session with Nasima.
Yes.
This 60-minute session of biofeedback, or trauma. But I mean, even if somebody doesn't want the trauma work, the somatic experiencing work, you do this biofeedback work.
Yeah, which is just incredible.
So for $85, you're giving a $250 session to the WBAI audience. For $125, you get the session 60 minutes biofeedback or trauma processing somatic experience with Nasima, plus the book Waking the Tiger, the best book out there on trauma. Everybody in the field knows about it.
And that's written by Peter Levine, who we've been listening to a couple of clips.
And the digital download of this interview that Armand had with him back in 2006.
Wow. Oh, that's,
so
that's wonderful.
Three, you get three things for $125, 212-757-4488. It's a great, great value.
Yeah. And I also want to say, it's going to, you know, I tend to have fun with my clients, because play is one of the ways that you start to reorient your responses. And it's not, we're not going to dredge up like horrible material. I don't even need to know what happened to you. I just want to know how you're feeling today and how we can make how you're feeling today a little better.
Absolutely. And we're coming actually 212-757-4488 here on WVAI 99.5. FM in New York City, a special two-hour extended edition of Positive Mind. We're going to come to a little musical break here. Make sure to make those calls, 212-757-4488, offering these two wonderful gifts to you after your donation to WBAI. $40 for Waking the Tiger, Healing Trauma by Peter Levine, a pretty incredible book containing a lot of, it's quite a tome, right? And then $125 for this 60-minute, sort of invaluable somatic session with Nasima alongside the book and the interview. Here's a little bit of music, and we'll be right with you after the break.
Brother,
212-757-4488, 212-757-4488. Call in and donate to the VBAI. That was What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. We all know that one.
How could you not?
Just a little bit of drums and beautiful, beautiful music here and on this this warm summer day.
But it's a great question for somebody who's experienced an event that they can't manage. It's all about overwhelm and being overwhelmed and being caught off guard and then having a sense of what's going on.
Yeah.
Overwhelm.
What's going on? And the beautiful thing about that song is like, let's come together, let's ask each other what's going on. What's going on with you? What's going on with you? We've stopped doing that, and that makes the situations more and more ripe for traumatic responses and for more of a sort of recapitulation and fear moving into your system. You know, you can be afraid of, you know, a guy wearing the wrong hat, you know. It's like, and you can just walk up and say, so what's going on with you? You know, what do you think? Let's talk. Let's you know, determine whether we're safe or not.
You know, some people think that the answer is meditation. That if you have a trauma or if you have an unmanaged mental state, that all you need to do is to meditate. And I don't think that's the case at all. I'm not versed in somatic experiencing, but to me, everything I understand about trauma is that it needs to be mobilized. It's trapped energy in the body, and meditating is not going to get you there. So can you say something
about
it?
Well, what I can say is that anybody who tries to meditate who has background trauma, they'll have a very hard time. Or they'll spiritual bypass. They'll go like, they'll skip over everything and be like all happy, everything's fine.
Is that a little bit dissociative?
They can totally go into full dissociation. But it can be very difficult to meditate because, again, like sitting still with your eyes closed is a very vulnerable position. If you're someone who's been traumatized, a lot of it happened in a space where you couldn't move. So you come into meditation, everybody's like, sit still, sit straight, sit, you know, all these like,
That's
and
a good
if
point.
You if you go to sit and it is like torture,
right? It can be a bit constrictive, right?
It can be very constrictive. It can be very regimented, and you might find yourself, you know, kind of boiling inside, or very agitated, or like a lot of pain in your body, and you know, higher level meditators can be like, well, just witness and watch it and stuff. But sometimes that's impossible.
You're alone with your own mind.
Yeah.
And if you want to get out of your mind, if you want to get away from your mind, sitting down and trying to breathe and meditate is not going to mobilize the energy that needs to get mobilized.
Right.
So what do you do about, talk about the straw breath.
Well, just a real quick, you know, like the thing about this work can be a bridge to being able to meditate.
Yes. Okay.
Because this starts to help release and give you that quality of the witnessing presence, because that isn't always there. And then, you know, yeah, you can use meditation. Absolutely. So straw breath is something I wanted to offer to you guys today. It's a technique I give to most of my clients very early on because it's really effective. And it also speaks to sort of vagus nerve tone, which I don't think we'll get too much into what the vagus nerve is, but that's kind of the break on your sympathetic fight or flight nervous system. The vagus nerve kind of, you know, helps to balance it. So this is a slow pressured out breath. So if anybody out there is a woodwind player or a flute player or a trumpet player, they already know how to do this. Or, you know, if you've ever blown into a bottle to get that tone, that's the kind of breath that you're going to do. So you're going to breathe in through your nose, and then with slow, with pursed lips, a slow, steady stream out. And this can really help to bring your nervous system down. You're accessing the breath. The breath is the one thing in our body that we can control as far as autonomic functions. We can't control how our stomach digests. We can't just control how our heart beats. We can control our breath. And when we control our breath, then we start to impact the heart and the digestion and all those things. And that's what the biofeedback will show you, too, as you start to do like a straw breath. Or maybe orienting, which I might teach you later, you'll see that the heart rate will drop and you'll come into a better sort of homeostasis. When you do that, then your capacity to see and be aware of more of your environment expands. And when you do that, then you are truly safe in an environment. We have this idea that if I'm hypervigilant, I'll be safer. And it's not true. It's not true. Hypervigilance does not make you safer. It makes you more afraid, and it cuts off more of your capacity to see what's going on around you. You can't see what's going on if you're like tunnel vision, tunnel ears. Your ears are blocked because like everything's so sensitive. You're just like this little live wire running around. It's not safe.
That was made for when we were sitting in the forest surrounded by 10 different kinds of animals that were going to prey on us.
Well, yeah, but even those people knew. It's like, okay, well, we'll put a sentinel out to watch, and the rest of us can relax, digest, procreate, enjoy each other, and we've got somebody on watch at that time, and then they can come back and stand down, you know, and you switch it off. To be on alert all the time, it's like, okay, everybody's sentinel, nobody's eating, nobody's procreating, we're dying.
Right, we're actually being not productive right now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And you don't do this with, you do this with your eyes open, right? I mean, you're not closing your eyes during this breath experience.
You can do it with your eyes open, eyes closed, but it's just, and you can do it anywhere. If you're on the subway, you're starting to feel a little freaked out by something, just straw breath. Just in through the nose and slow, pressured breath out.
Yeah, for those of people who heard meditation is not the answer a little bit earlier. there are forms of meditation that I've seen, and I've as I've grown older, found that there are meditation types that are different and from the typical what would be crossing the legs and putting the hands on the lap and closing the eyes and constricting. And I've actually done a form of meditation where your eyes are opening. It's basically just breathing, focusing on your breathing.
Yeah.
And in that way, I mean, we can still find that relaxation and that ability to connect with one's body.
The thing about it struck me, the exercise, in that you're expanding a person's capacity to take in reality.
Yes.
It's like it's reality testing with another human being.
Yep.
You're basically with this person, and they're safe with you, and they're able to fully see their environment, expand out, see the entire room, see the entire vista, look out the window and see everything. You are safe.
Yes.
And so it's an orienting to reality. We're going to play another piece by Peter Levine and Armand DeMille. We want to remind you, 212-757-4488 gets you the session where you can expand your sense of reality to get yourself grounded and feel alive and breathe. Plus this book, Waking the Tiger, and the digital download with this interview by Armand DeMille and Peter Levine.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff. 212-757-4488. The only place you're going to find really, really special stuff just for the gift to WBA.
And you're not going to find this digital download anywhere else.
No.
You will not. It's not on the archive. It's nowhere to be found. So you're getting a tremendous value for $40 for the book and the digital download. For $125, you get the digital download, the book, and Nasima.
Yeah.
So let's hear a little bit of Peter talking to Armand about needing somebody to process this with.
All right, here we go.
it's like a shock. It's like something hits us. And very often doctors aren't really trained in the way. The person comes in, they're looking at their notes, and they're saying, well, the laboratory test came back, you have this kind of cancer, you have 6 months to live. You know, and here's the person. What do they do with that? I mean, first of all, if the doctor had presented the diagnosis in a different way, had been available, and some doctors are, this is a bad scenario, to really be with the person and also to give them the information about possible support for that and also help them sort through the possibilities. This is what AMA medicine has, conventional medicine has. You know, we have some things that are pretty good with this, but, you know, there are these side effects. Or, you know, the medicine that I've taught really isn't that successful with this. There are people who practice other, you know, complementary or alternative medicine, and I don't know much about it, but this is a person I think who has a lot of useful information. Maybe you want to talk to them. So in other words, you don't just hit them with a diagnosis. You help them, you know, sort through. You try to put it in a way, you know, that doesn't punch them right.
Isn't that the art of medicine? I mean, that the doctor is not just technically proficient in the information, but how to deliver difficult, bad news to the patient, and that they just drop this on somebody and they don't know.
Sometimes that's a shock.
I mean, right?
It is a shock. Yeah, and it was, you know, there's another clip that follows where he talks about, you know, if you have gotten a diagnosis. A lot of people, you know, they get the diagnosis and then they're kind of just like set, you know, free. I think they've gotten better, especially with cancer and some of these other diagnoses, of like how to sort of hold the client through that process. They have protocols. But, you know, I've worked with women who are trying to do infertility treatments, and they're traumatized by that process in so many ways, because there's, you know, all kinds of stigma and concern, and that process, like being able to conceive a child, needs you to feel more relaxed and safe in your body than anything.
Yeah, basically everything works better when you're
yes,
a little bit safer.
Yes, everything
and
works better when
relaxed.
You feel safe. Everything. Yeah. All treatments.
Yeah, I mean, even as an actor.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. You know, a lot of the time, I've been learning a lot being on set, and I was shooting a show in June in Portland, and there's a bit where I'm supposed to sort of have this breakdown, sobbing, crying thing. Mm. And I kept, because we see this guy, not to ruin the show, but someone dies and I see it happen. And my impulse as an actor was to go, oh, I would lock up. I would lock up and I would get all tight and rigid. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't working. It wasn't like totally getting to the place. The director kind of comes over to me and he goes, hey, you know, when people experience something like that, they actually kind of loosen up and they kind of, you know, they find themselves loosening. I was like, let's try that, just as an actor. And so I do that. And then as that happens, all of a sudden I feel so much more emotionally vulnerable and open, and I'm able to connect in reality with what's going on. Mm. And it was just in my body's physical behavior.
Right.
And I mean, I know this is a very specific analogy to acting, but it also, I found this in throughout all of life. I mean, there's just a lot to be said about when you're able to give in to a relaxation, to feel safe to go wherever you need to go with anything, and it always
yeah,
leads somewhere.
And
nice.
that's what, you know, once that flow starts, once you sort of open that gate a little bit again, it's like that's the beauty of what Peter brought to the world in trauma healing, is he said, let's just open the door just a little at a time, so it's not overwhelming like it was when it happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We just do a little bit of an opening, and then some of the energy starts to flow, some of the emotions start to flow, maybe some images, whatever, and we just like let them flow, let them go, and then we come back to, okay, I'm here, I'm safe, that's not happening right now, it's just my body letting go of something that it's been holding on to a long time. And that's the constriction you were talking
right.
about earlier. It's the difference between constricting and holding against that, and then just letting it go a little bit, like that straw breath.
Right.
It's like starts with a little constriction and a little bit of flow, and it starts to help you settle.
And that's what the word tiger means in the name of the title, right? He's saying he's trying to get us back to this thing that the animals are good at. When they feel under threat, they freeze and simulate a sort of death response.
Mm-hmm.
So that softening that you talk about for acting, that you don't freeze your energy, you just go limp and become a certain passivity and then wait for your body to respond to be able to process it.
Yes.
So waking the tiger is to for us to become more like the animals, because we have these minds that keep us hyper-vigilant, hyper-aroused all the time, that we don't really have a great mechanism for processing life-threatening situations. So so it is where the importance of having a person come over to you and say, look, if you can loosen up when especially like with car accidents, right? They say the damage comes when you tighten your body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you soften your body, you'll have a much better chance of not being damaged so much. So I think the same thing with trauma. When the trauma event happens, or if you've been raised with these adverse childhood experiences,
right,
that you're slowly getting constricted, that you're not getting open to a wider range. Let's talk about the premium. Nasima, 212-757-4488.
Yeah, I'm so excited to offer this session to help you start to feel qualities of safety in your body, what it means to feel safe, how you can start to get yourself a little more present. We're going to use biofeedback as a support to that. Biofeedback is a really, really wonderful tool that helps you see, like, real time what's happening in your nervous system. How's the balance of that rest and digest and the fight or flight? You know, and at times we want to be able to, like, when you come into my session, you might feel a little bit activated because it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's happening here. I'm in a new place. I do know that most people who walk into our offices already start to feel relaxed because of the way our office is.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a solid, beautiful building. They come into my room, we sit down, and I just get a sense of how you are right now. What does your body feel like? What feels like it's settling? What feels like it isn't? And we just start to get to know where we're at. And sometimes you do come in a little bit riled up. You've just come from the street. And then we learn how to sort of come down a little bit and what that means. So it's $125 for the session with me. It's 60 minutes, plus the book with Peter, plus the download of Peter's interview, and then $40 just to get the book. If you're not ready to come in, get the book. The book has so many wonderful techniques in it. You'll get a really deep understanding of where you are. A lot of my clients who read it say, wow, you just sort of normalized, like, he's talking to me. He's talking about me. And that's what's really beautiful about this book. It's in large print, so it's easy to read. It's an easy book to read. He even gives you instructions on how to read the book. That, you know, it's like if you're reading and suddenly you start to feel activated or just not right, you can just close the book. And he gives wonderful techniques for just starting to be able to sense into your body again and to see where you feel safe and how to feel safer in this world. Because that's ultimately, we are wired to feel safe. We are wired to feel connected.
We're wired to recover.
We're wired to recover. Our bodies want to recover, and they're, you know, it's like the system, if you've been traumatized, is always looking to find a way to get you safe. And we kind of override that because we don't have the capacity to feel safe either. So it's like we kind of have to learn again how to sort of open and sit into life again, sit into the present moment, find safety, orient to that in our body.
With the biofeedback, are you hooked up to something?
Yeah, it's just a little clip that either goes on your finger or on your ear. It's non-invasive. And we'll just get
have to put like a thing in our body, right?
You have to
so
do
now
all
this
these
is
things.
A much
this
less invasive thing.
Simple.
That's really nice.
It's much more advanced than it ever used to be.
It sends information to your computer or something?
Yeah, it has a little readout. We can even print it out, sort of showing what your heart rate variability is.
Right,
the
normal market rate for something like this to come in for a session like this is quite high, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like $200-$300 for sure.
Right.
And
because that reading, it could be traumatic, too. I mean, you want to process this with somebody.
Yeah.
Your biofeedback profile is saying how stressed you are. Have you been under stress for a long time?
Yeah.
You know, your blood pressure is such and such. What is going on with that? I mean,
we'll start there. We'll do some work, and then we'll see how you are at the end of the session.
Mm-hmm.
And what really worked for you. You'll be able to see it working for you as we breathe, as we settle, as we do maybe some different techniques that I do to help people feel okay, feel more okay than they are right now.
So
and I really want to get out there and say, it's not, you don't have to suffer this. You don't have to suffer insomnia. You don't have to suffer with chronic pain that's undiagnosable. You don't have to suffer with invasive thoughts or catastrophic thinking.
You don't have
you
to suffer with frequent bouts of crying. I mean, this
yeah.
is one of the symptoms, is frequent bouts of crying, unexplicable crying, or,
yeah.
or wide mood swings. Why am I being so angered by such and such? Some days I'm not, but lately I've been angry about X, Y, Z
yeah.
all the time. Why? What is going on with me? You don't need to live with that. You might, a biofeedback session will tell you exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And experiencing this grounding, this somatic experiencing session,
yeah.
will bring you back to your baseline where you get to know yourself again, really feel like you're in reality in a safe way.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So 212-757-4488. I think it's one of the best values we've offered. Because people
yeah,
are getting
really incredible.
People
value,
are getting
yeah.
Armand's voice interviewing Peter Levine. Peter, who is still in his 80s, doing this work internationally.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to traumahealing.com, you can see all the things he's up to. He's bringing this to schools, to hospitals, to
all over
to
the
hospice
world.
Care.
All over
right?
the world.
So yep. he is an international figure. You're getting his book, plus the other international figure, Armand DeMille, interviewing him. On this digital download for $40, you get the book and the digital download. For another $85, you get the book download and a session with Nasima. Even if you just don't feel like you are under too much stress or your body is not constricted,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
you can get this biofeedback experience that you will not get for this value
and this is
anywhere
all,
else.
This is all if you call 212-757-4488, 212-757-4488. That's the number here at the Positive Mind Center. And this is a tax-deductible charitable donation to WBAI Public Radio, supporting Public Radio New York City, as Reggie was just saying before our show at 3 p.m., that this is we've
yeah.
been on there for 59 years here
yeah,
on these waves at WBAI. You
the
know,
Positive Mind's been on for how long?
30 years.
30?
30 years.
30 years.
So
this is
you,
how
WBI.
We stay on air.
Thank you,
this
WBI, and thanks to the audience. And we need your
yeah.
support right now.
This
we know it's summer.
Yeah.
We know it's summer, and you might be relaxing or not want to be tasked for this, but the station needs your money at this time of year also. We also need your support now. So a quick call would be the quickest donation call you've ever made. We have Louis standing by, 212-757-4488. Get the book. Just get the book and the download. If you haven't heard Armand's voice in a long time, you won't hear this interview anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
For $40, you get the book and the interview. For $125, the book and interview and a session with Nasima. Give it to somebody you care about, somebody whose startle response, you touch them on the back, and they're jumping through the roof. And
or
you,
they
you
hear
know,
a loud noise.
And they're embarrassed
or,
by it. I mean,
yeah.
You know... I always envy the guys who you know, are poked or frightened in the moment and don't have any reaction at all. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, sometimes
yeah.
I'm like that. I mean, there are moments when I'm impervious to that, but then there are other times when, you know, my startle response is very high,
right.
very strong.
Yeah,
and
right.
for our listeners who are feeling any kind of this hypersensitivity, hypervigilance, and they kind of want to deal with it, explore it a little bit more, this $125 donation to WBAI is a really, really great way where you get to spend an hour-long session with Nasima Dayan-Deamer here, the somatic session with this very unintrusive biofeedback machine. Also just learning techniques to relax, to deal with trauma and anxiety.
Yes.
And you get this book, Waking the Tiger, by Peter Levine, and this interview as well if you want to learn more about that. So call 212-757-4488, 212-757-4488 to make that donation, a tax-deductible donation to WBAI, supporting public radio, supporting WBAI 99.5 FM, and supporting the Positive Mind here on WBAI. We're coming up just close to 4 p.m. We've got a special two-hour program today, an extended program. This first hour we've been talking about trauma, healing trauma, different kinds of trauma that people go through and the ways we deal with that. And then coming up in the next hour, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on a topic that is very related to what we've been talking about,
yeah.
That Kevin is probably going to spearhead a bit. And we're going to get a little bit of music here coming up into 4 p.m. And thanks for tuning in to WBA 99.5. Stay tuned.
212-757-4488.
Thank you.
WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, The Positive Mind. Call 212-757-4488 to donate now to WBAI and The Positive Mind.
Everybody, welcome back to Talk Back at the Positive Mind. I'm Kev O'Donoghue here with Nasima Diane Deemer and a friend, Julian Joyello.
Hey.
Welcome
hey,
back, Julian.
What's
friend.
Up? We're still here.
We are still here. I'm glad you're back. If you've been tuning in, we are on an expanded edition of The Positive Mind. We're on from 3 to 4, and we have exciting things to talk about between 4 and 5 o'clock.
Yes.
But we bring you some ideas, concepts, and guests.
And premiums.
And premiums. Thank you. To try and help you lead a more positively minded life. We are in Fund Drive, folks. We need your support. If you supported us in the last hour, we thank you very much. We can't do it without you. The number here to donate is 212-757-4488. We have been talking about last night, what happened in Times Square.
Yeah.
We've been talking about being on hyper alert, that to be American almost means to be hyper alert at this point.
Yes.
We talk about the Enneagram coming up, that we are a three kind of country. We're a country that is...
Enneagram type three?
Enneagram yes. type three. We're interested,
yeah.
in the bottom line. We're interested in the bottom line. We're interested in improving our value
mm-hmm.
by succeeding economically.
Yeah.
That we are compulsively fixated on the externals in life. That we get our esteem by how much money we make, how much success is in our
So culturally, as Americans,
culturally as Americans, people
yeah.
are we are a three country.
Yeah.
And when you throw something like a last night incident, it's kind of incongruous. Mm. A three feels indomitable.
Mm-hmm.
A three yeah. feels like they can take on the world. No external obstacle is going to get in my way. I've always succeeded at vanquishing anything external.
Mm. Mm.
And nothing will get in my way of succeeding, of me proving my value. Yes,
yeah.
we are an Enneagram 3 country. And we suffer the vice of the 3, which is a kind of insincerity, that mm. we're so busy pursuing our goal that in our dealings with each other and other people, we're open to being deceitful and dishonest and insincere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
for the sake of image, right?
For the sake of pursuing an image. So
yeah.
so all of these types that we're going to be talking about are a form of dissociation. that the giver is always giving because they've dissociated from a sense of their own value.
And just really quick for our listeners who don't know what the Enneagram is. The Enneagram is a very, very long, it's been around for a very long time from
Since the Sufis,
right?
From the 1300s,
It's the Enneagram is a personality typing style, and there's one to nine types, right? And we're talking about the three type, which kind of, these types can be put onto people, but they can also represent cultures and ideas, relationships. It's a really beautiful typing. It's my favorite one of any psychological typing.
And the book that we're offering as a premium, Julian, gives a full outline of all the variables of being a certain type. The famous people that are a certain type.
Right.
Einstein was a 5, you know. Tom Hanks is a 6, you know.
Right.
Meg Ryan is a 6. Donald Trump is an 8, you know.
Yes.
Who would go figure?
Yeah.
You know, Margaret Thatcher was a 1. I mean, all of these historical figures are in this book, The Wisdom of the Enneagram. But these are forms of dissociation, which is what we've been calling, what we've been talking about in the last hour.
And coping you know, a lot of coping mechanisms.
Right,
too.
Every type has their own coping mechanism.
Their
right?
own coping mechanism, and it's become either their vice or not. But, you know, as you were talking about the three, and that the three has, you know, these issues, but underneath the three, the essence of the three, you were saying, is love. And I think that's right. I mean, I think Americans have a huge capacity to love and be loving and want a loving culture.
Mm.
And so I can see where, these kinds of violences, the stuff that's happening, is really hitting at the core of our cultural values, which is, you know, we have open arms. We love people. That our own people are, you know, killing and hurting each other is really, it's really hurtful. Mm. It really hurts.
And that we are champions of civil rights and human rights throughout the world.
Yes.
And protectors of the rights of human beings. We like to think of ourselves that way.
Yeah.
So this incongruity between what we're suffering, like in things like last night, where a motorcycle backfires and a whole crowd of people in Times Square, New York, race and run for the hills, and some people are locked down in stores calling loved ones thinking that they're under attack.
Right. We're kind of evolving as a generation, as a new generation in America, to be hypervigilant because of the kind of media that we are absorbing and the experiences that are becoming more and more common.
Mm. Yeah, we know so much about what's happening all around. It's very unique now. This time.
But, you know, Julian, you bring up a good thing because, you know, we're the positive mind and we like to try and find the silver lining. And if we are evolving to become more complex human beings that are able to handle trauma on site, mobilize it, process it, deal with it on site, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I mean,
if it makes us more sophisticated,
in the literature on positive psychology, they call it post-traumatic growth disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have suffered two traumas in your life, you're much better off than if you've suffered one. They've done studies on this.
I totally believe that your recovery rate is faster,
that you're able to mobilize the energy that gets stuck in trauma the second time around.
Yes.
And that you can be an aid to people in a traumatic who are experiencing their first traumatic experience. So if what Julian is saying is accurate, you know, that we are evolving as a culture, and I think we are, because I know people that have changed dramatically since 9/11.
Right.
Certainly our airports have changed everything in our culture, and we've changed in innumerable ways. Our computers are being hacked throughout the world, and we are taking measures. So we're getting more sophisticated in adapting to insidious kind of threats.
Yes.
And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, and naturally, when I walk into most people's places, they've got a little piece of tape on their camera.
Yeah.
Because they're aware of. I mean, that's a real thing to worry about now.
And you know, you can have the awareness of everything that's going on, and you can have the awareness that you are safe.
Right.
In any given moment.
Right, and logically,
if you indeed you are.
What is keeping you safe, and what is actually a real danger?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So that's where, you know, more and more education has to happen, and you know, as Enneagram you know, will teach us, you have your own specific way of being vigilant or
yes.
coping with the world or coping with stress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, stress is helpful. Some traumas are helpful. They can make us stronger, can make us, you know, more adept at life. But when it gets to be too much, it gets to be too much.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's so okay, too.
I want to start just referring to the last hour. And if you missed us, you can get that on WBAI.org and listen to the hour. We've been talking about Peter Levine that we talked about last week, Peter Levine and Armand DeMille's interview with him. Peter's the expert on trauma. And we as Americans know what that is. It's estimated that over 90% of Americans have been exposed to some form of trauma.
Traumatic event.
And we talked about adverse childhood experiences last week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grew up in a home where you did not feel loved, where you were under threat of being hit, where you were under threat of insult, if you didn't have enough food in the house,
yeah.
you know, if someone in your house was depressed or suffering an emotional mental illness, well, these are all variables that make you susceptible to responding to an adverse event in your adult life.
Yep.
In a very difficult way. But, Nisima, we didn't talk about the symptoms. You know, because I look at trauma as a constriction of the nervous system. I see it as people's lives get constricted. They say something in Alcoholics Anonymous, the day you picked up your first drink was the day you stopped growing as
mm-hmm.
a human being,
mm-hmm.
whether that was at 12 years of age, 22 years of age, or the day you started smoking was the day you stopped growing.
Yeah.
So I consider trauma to be a moment of constriction, that your body is overwhelmed and it has no way to release this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result is, okay, now I have another thing inside of me and I have to protect myself and it through being constricted. Can we go through these symptoms for people? I want to play one more clip from Peter Levine's interview with Armand DeMille and then talk more about the Enneagram. But I did want to familiarize people who have been with us for the hour with this, these kinds of with these kinds of symptoms. So
yeah.
constriction's at the top. Well, hypervigilance is
at the top. Well, yeah, hypervigilance, hyperarousal is another word for that. Dissociating is like kind of like spacing out a lot. It can also feel like you're not in your body. There's constriction. There's this heightened startle response. You're easily startled by loud noises or somebody touching you, you know.
Or a motorcycle backfiring.
Or a motorcycle backfiring. Stomach problems. A lot of stomach problems are related to a hypervigilant nervous system.
That makes sense because a lot of people understand the brain, the second brain.
The second brain is the stomach.
And the stomach.
Yep. Yeah.
And so if you're having...
I feel like I see animals. I mean, you see if mm-hmm. anybody has any, like, dogs or cats, I mean, you see how crazy they go when their stomach is upset, and it kind of affect our anxiety and our survival instincts because it just
right.
messes
yeah.
with your whole body.
Yep,
yeah.
it really does.
And people with stomach problems are under, you know, chronic stress. It's a form of stress.
Yes.
That stomach problems, because it's very we don't know what's going on. Why am I experiencing stomach problems?
Yeah.
I'm eating properly. I'm taking care of myself,
mm-hmm.
and I'm having... stomach problems. So stomach problems would be a sign of being under some kind of duress and that possibly having suffered some kind of trauma years and years ago.
Yes.
So I want to go through these. We talk about hyperarousal and dissociating and constriction and startle response. But talk about the next one.
Well, yeah, sensitivity to sounds, smells, light, and even your clothes. Like, some people can be hypersensitive about, I have to have just this right kind of material, otherwise it's really irritating to me. So that's a really kind of a hypervigilant,
oh,
almost
see, yeah.
touch response.
So if things aren't exactly right in the environment,
yeah.
if they're extreme, if the light is too strong, if the
yeah.
sound is too high,
different
if the
right.
smells are too
smells.
Severe, that there's a good chance that the system is mobile and trying to handle this stress, this trauma that's inside. I call it a pain inside,
yeah.
because ultimately a trauma is a pain that we don't want to revisit.
Right. It's an overwhelm. You know, and so life becomes overwhelming. People who are traumatized usually end up in overwhelming situations constantly.
How is that? What do you
it's
mean?
It's kind of part of the reenactment. You know, it's like trauma can sort of make you do reenactments of the same thing over and over again, because your system, in the sense of wanting to grow, wants to learn how to get out of it.
Interesting.
So,
you might expose yourself to danger.
You might actually attract that to yourself.
Right.
Yeah, you might actually, you know, unconsciously put yourself in the same situation over and over and over again. And if you find yourself, I mean, I spoke with somebody who was in 13 vehicle accidents.
Oh.
And they all came out of a blind spot. And when I spoke to him even more, he's like, yeah, I had the kind of dad who would be really nice, and all of a sudden he would haul off and hit me, and I had no idea. And he had never put those two things together.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, you know, it's like somehow there's a blind spot, and he just keeps getting hit.
I know one patient of mine has suffered from 9 people committing suicide in his life.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's not an accident.
It's not.
You know, it's rare for somebody to experience 1 suicide in their life. To experience 9 suicides,
that's
there's something
tragic,
about reenacting this event.
And taking
and attracting these kinds of people and taking
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue going through the rest of these symptoms, but if any of those resonate with you, we last hour offered this premium. We'll offer it again. It's an interview with Peter Levine by Armand DeMille, and a copy of the book, Waking the Tiger, which is what we're talking about and which is where these symptoms come from. For $40, you can get the book and the interview with Armand. And then an $85 session. For $125, you get all three. A session with Nassima mobilizing this constriction in your body, this pain in your body. For $125, you can get all three.
Mm-hmm.
We'll send out the book and the download today. But I want you also, Nassima, to talk a little bit about mobilizing this. Give people a sample of what a session would look like with you of mobilizing this pain, this constriction.
Right. So coming in, I often just help you tune into your body, tune into where the constriction might be manifesting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just working with it very gently. And sometimes even first working with you in establishing a sense of safety. One way I do that is with a technique that I can share with you now. It's called orienting. And it's one that would be really helpful for everyone out there right now who's feeling a little bit on edge because of everything that's gone on. I really encourage everyone, when you're walking on the street, don't wear your earbuds. Lift your eyes away from the phones. Start looking around. Start connecting with people.
Mm.
Look at the beautiful architecture. Look at the beautiful people.
Mm.
Look at everything that's happening around you. That's how you can let your system feel safe. That's how you can know whether it's a backfiring car or a gunman. Because
so if you're doing
you'd
be less receptive to a backfiring of a
you might
motorcycle.
I
can see why.
What's actually happening.
You're being confirmed by the safety of the environment,
yes.
and maybe even the beauty of the environment
yes.
where you are.
Yeah.
And if you're absorbed in that, a sound of a motorcycle is not going to make you jump.
Right. So what I have people do in the office, I have them come in, they sit, we talk a little bit, and then maybe I take them through a little orienting just to the office. And what's so interesting is, like, they'll start looking around the room and they'll be like, oh, I didn't see that before, and
no.
I didn't see that before,
no.
and now I can see that. And isn't it interesting? How many times do you walk into a room and really let yourself orient to yourself in that space, in that room?
Yeah.
What's here? Everybody feels like they can't look at things. Look, I say look. It helps to relax your neck.
Mm.
It relaxes your eyes. It's like see where you are. You have a right to see the space that you're in. And that helps you, that just tells your nervous system, okay, I've determined that I'm safe. There's no boogeyman in the corner. There's no, you know, it's like I know exactly where I am. I know who I'm sitting on the subway car with. I know, you know, it's like I can see everything. Let yourself see.
Mm. You talk about this tunnel effect, and I could see if
yeah.
we're kind of shrouding ourselves in our own individual worlds. And I can't tell you,
I mean,
last night I was driving, and a woman was walking across the street with a cell phone looking at it.
Yeah.
She was walking against the light. I mean, she had
no concept.
Concept of how dangerous she was putting
herself.
Yeah,
I always joke that the most daring people of 2019 are people on their phones.
Yeah.
And they're just like walking into traffic with their phone out, and I'm like, wow, this is they're all Steve McQueen.
Take the earbuds out, look around.
They're setting themselves up.
I've noticed even taking off like sunglasses and stuff like that. This kind of stuff can really it's really easy. I mean, even myself, who I try to be very vigilant about being present and being aware.
Yeah.
I find myself if I've got sunglasses on or earbuds or phone or whatever, and I'm outside, all of a sudden I'm home and I don't even remember how I got there or what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it's just this like kind of autopilot that helps disconnect the body and the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really
and
important.
And that, to your nervous system, is dangerous. So the hairs on the back of your neck are kind of up because I'm not aware of what's happening around me.
It's like a detached anxiety.
So before we go into the premium, talk a little bit about this straw exercise that we did last hour. For the new listeners who are our usual listeners, walk them through this straw exercise of grounding.
Yeah, well, the straw breath is a way to tone your vagus nerve. That's a term that's out there a lot these days. But the vagus nerve is the sort of in charge of the parasympathetic nervous system. It's the one, the rest and digest nervous system, as opposed to the fight or flight, which is what most of us are in right now. And straw breath is a slow, pressured out breath. And you start by just taking an inhale through the nose, and then a slow, as if you're blowing through a straw. And this can really help turn down emotional, physical, mental, like, volume, let's just say. Like, the volume is too much. You're overwhelmed. You're feeling overwhelmed by a feeling, a thought, an emotion. Just take this in through the nose and out through the mouth. Can really shift how you're thinking, how you're feeling. You know, it can bring you back into the present moment. It's using the breath, which is a very powerful tool we have. We can control our physiology via our breath.
Now, that was only 1 minute, and you have a 60-minute session that you're offering people.
Yeah.
And you're also hooking them up to a biofeedback reader.
Yes, I have
a biofeedback session, as last I checked, was $225, typically for a first session, and then it goes up. We are offering to WBAI listeners a biofeedback session and exercises like this that just 1 second. And then Nasima also says, look, if you're constricted and you're dissociating and you're hypervigilant, just open your eyes, look around, find out where the safety is. Look for the specifics of the environment that you're in. Look at the trees, look at the buildings, look at the signs,
look at the people.
Yeah, and
people are good.
And
most
you'll recognize
really
there's
good.
More safety than unsafety.
Yes.
So 212-757-4488. For $125, you get that session, 60 minutes, 60 minutes of these gems. With Nasima, plus the book Waking the Tiger and the digital download with Armand DeMille and Peter Levine talking about all types of trauma. I want to talk more about a piece we're going to play, but tell more about this value, Nasima. You've been in this field for a long time. You are an expert on somatic experiencing. Talk about this value and typical pricing of these things.
You know, people can charge $200, $300, $400 for this type of work. I just feel like it's really, really important for as many people as possible to start to understand this, to know about their bodies. Part of the inspiration for last week's show was this whole the Oversight and Reform Committee hearings on childhood trauma, because childhood trauma has the very real effect of causing all kinds of disease later in life. So it's good for your health to start to understand your body, understand how to turn your nervous system down, how to turn the volume down on hypersensitivities that you have, on issues, stomach problems, all of that. It's like it's got value way beyond, you know, the $125 that you'll be giving to WBAI, which is incredibly valuable. I mean,
yeah,
think about
and
the
also,
value of BAI.
Nasima is being very humble here. This money is going to WBAI. It's not going to Nasima. It's going to support the station that you're listening to right now, WBAI 99.5 FM.
And
you know,
support
and this
the
is,
show,
yes.
which is all about like helping you find ways out of, you know, all kinds of like negative, hard things in life. I mean,
absolutely.
We're about talking about, you know, how can we be creative? How can we move out of struggle and strife and pain and anxiety and to understand ourselves more and more and live more positively minded lives? I mean, this is the healing of a nation here. This is a revolutionary.
So let's play this little part by the Oversight Committee in Congress talking about the importance of paying attention to adverse childhood experiences and the treatments that Nasima is offering for our BAI audience.
Childhood trauma is a pervasive public health issue with long-term negative health effects that cost the United States billions of dollars. In 1998, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention published a landmark study that found that adults who suffered from adverse childhood experiences, also known as ACEs, are at a much greater risk of several leading causes of death, including heart disease, lung disease, cancer, substance use disorder, and suicide. The study examined the effects of adverse child experiences such as abuse, neglect, or separation from a parent. And it also examined the long-term effects that these events have on children throughout the rest of their lives. The science is powerful. Traumatic experiences can enter the developing brains of children, create lifelong impairments to their ability to manage stress and regulate emotions, and significantly increase the likelihood of negative health outcomes. As we will hear today, a growing number of researchers, medical professionals, public health experts, and government officials warn that childhood trauma may be one of the most consequential and costly public health issues facing our nation today. The CDC recently estimated that cases of substantiated child maltreatment in 2015 alone will generate consequences that will cost the United States $428
billion. $428 billion. For these, and what we posted it on, on the PositiveMindCenter.com, the list of the tests that you can take to see if you've been exposed to adverse childhood experiences. One would be, was there a shortage of food?
Yeah.
One would be, was your mother abused by your dad? Did your older brother ritually beat younger person? If an older person of 5 years older than you in the home was violent towards you?
Mm-hmm.
What are these other ones? Chronic insults and swearing, being exposed to that. Was there a problem drinker? Was there somebody who was depressed in the home? These are on the PositiveMindCenter.com. You can see the questions. If you get more than four, you are listed as a person who suffered adverse childhood experiences, trauma.
That could predispose you to these diseases that he's speaking
right.
of. And again, this ACE study was done with 17,000 participants. This is a huge study, and
right.
it's growing even more. If you're interested in it, there's a wonderful website called acestoohigh.org, and that's where you can also download the form and get information. But it's coming out. It's coming into the government, and the government is looking at ways to support programs that will help alleviate adverse childhood experiences,
right.
the ones that you can. I'll just say an aside that, you know, the work that Kevin and I teach, the Safe Conversations, helps that as well.
Of course.
We'll be
yeah.
talking about that in the future, I'm sure. But this is so important, and it's also something to realize for yourself. It may normalize some of how you feel. Like if you grew up in a home where this was happening, where things were, you know, rough, you might feel the hyperarousal, the disassociating, the constriction, the hyperstartle response, nightmares,
yeah.
spaciness, crying. These things you don't have to live with, and that's why I'm offering this
session.
Premium,
right.
this session,
right.
this, you know, Peter's book as an entree, if you want to start there.
Yeah,
you
this
can
is
do
a huge
that.
First step towards dealing with
it's
the stuff that we're talking
and
about.
And you don't have to, you know, live this way.
I mean, ideally we would want to go to the family and treat this immediately when it's happening. Unfortunately,
yes.
we get the end results, the adults that were exposed to this and then
yeah.
20, 30 years ago are experiencing these symptoms that we're talking
yeah.
about. bouts of crying, bouts of emotionality, bouts of mood change, sharp mood change, for some reason outbursts that all of a sudden you're feeling rage. So 212-757-4488 will get you this $125 session with Nasima, plus the book and the digital download, Waking the Tiger by Peter Levine. We will get that out to you today. For $125, you get all three. For $40, you get Waking the Tiger, the book, and the digital download. It's a great value. It, you know, when you read this on our website, the Adverse Childhood Experiences list, test, it will blow your mind. It will, you know, we've all been exposed to some version. I had older brothers, you know. I had older siblings, you know, and what could be labeled as, you know, inferiority. I mean, they were power figures, right? Yeah. They could impose whatever they wanted. That fear in itself can lock in your system as a kind of trauma that needs to be processed, needs to be mobilized. 212-757-4488.
And I want to thank the people who've already called.
Yes.
I think that's just so wonderful. A shout out to Joan and a shout out to Michael. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling and supporting the show, supporting WBAI.
Peter, we're waiting for your call if we haven't
really
heard from you
for
yet. 212-757-4488. Thank you for the call. Let's go to the last of these symptoms, Nasima, your avoidance. Are you avoiding things? Like one thing that's post-traumatic stress, you know, we know about this with veterans, that they are avoiding stimuli that will remind them of their exposure. So I'm avoiding things. We're all avoiding things. It's time to make pay attention to what things are you avoiding. 212-757-4488. Nasima will walk you through a dozen exercises that she did, just like the straw breath, just like she did, like opening your vision, opening your
orienting,
hearing, orienting. 212-757-4488. For $125, you get the session with Nasima, plus the book that will go out today, Waking the Tiger by Peter Levine, the Bible on trauma.
Yes.
It's the Bible. And then the interview with Armand DeMille, Peter Levine, back in 2006, where you will not hear that anywhere else, folks. If you want to hear Armand's voice in a new context, and he was a big fan of Peter's. 212-757-4488.
And we've just got a little bit of music here. It's 4:30 p.m. We're reaching the last quarter of our two-hour extended show. Stay tuned. Make sure to call 212-757-4488. We'll get Marvin Gaye for you. Thank you. And that was Mercy, Mercy Me. We all know that song by Marvin Gaye. Just to bring up the energy here for our last quarter of our two-hour extended show, The Positive Mind.
And mercy for those children that are experiencing these adverse childhood experiences.
And
mercy.
Mercy for everyone who's feeling really scared these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mercy to
and we're here. WBAI has been here for 58-plus years. We are still here, The Positive Mind. In the last half hour, you heard about a concept, the post-traumatic growth disorder. Post-traumatic growth, so which is basically if you've been exposed to two traumas, you handle the second one so much better, and you can be an asset in an environment where a trauma is going on the second time around. And that makes sense. And also these adverse childhood experiences can make children very resilient and strong. You know, their resilient system is engaged when they're exposed to this chronically. And so we're tremendously resilient creatures. So
we're so resilient. And it's like it's quite amazing that I work with a lot of people that have really horrible things happen in their childhood. And the fact that they're still here coming into my room, sitting down in front of me, I am just like in awe. I mean, you survived this.
Yes.
There is a core resilience. And I think a lot of times as I study the Enneagram and as I learn from you, Kevin, like it links in so much. Like the Enneagram types really talk about really like the specific traumas that these kids sitting in front
indeed.
Of me as adults experience.
Right. And these fixations, Nassima, the Enneagram is called the fixations, are really traumas in adverse childhood experiences, messages that children receive.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two experiences, the message like, you're not lovable.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not lovable for who you are, so you have to be good and have to be helping.
Yes.
And of course, anybody who helps is automatically seen as good and valuable. So naturally, that's a great coping mechanism. What's behind that? The pain of that. And the lifelong journey, overly giving because of something that happened childhood. For the three, the person who's always focused on achievement, you know, they were told that you... you're not valuable by yourself. You're only valuable with what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Only with what you produce.
Yeah.
Only with how you succeed. You're not allowed to have any feelings of your own, any identity of your own. You have to show us trophies.
Right.
So a person who receives that message in childhood is dissociated from their self. And, of course, their essential nature, and that's the other thing the Enneagram does, is teach people what your real essence is,
mm-hmm.
is not to be this striver for success, but this striver for love, this striver to actualize love. That's right. This country, our country, is a three country. We're constantly producing, trying to succeed, trying to show that we are valuable. We have a lot of good messages that prove our value,
mm-hmm.
but we don't feel it. We don't have it. We're constantly pushing to succeed, and consequently, we become insincere and deceitful. That's the vice of a person that's always trying to succeed. They fall away from their essential nature of love and become deceivers.
Yeah.
And so they use this image, as we talked about in the last half hour, to stand in for who they really are. And we are talking about trauma as coping mechanisms of trauma as standing in for who you really could be. Your nervous system can get back online if you mobilize your trauma, if you experience your trauma. So we offered that premium of the Peter Levine book. This half hour we're offering, in addition, the Enneagram, the Wisdom of the Enneagram book, which will outline what your true nature is,
mm-hmm.
how you dissociated in childhood, the messages that you received unconsciously that you took in and sort of traumatized you, and that you are spending your adult life trying to work out and finally feel valued and safe in the world.
Right. And it's like these personality types are kind of the way that your system, the way that you your essence sort of crystallized into something that could be accepted in your family system. You know, it's
exactly.
like, it's kind of, you know, and that makes it the fixation, but in that fixation is your true nature. It just had to sort of change shape in order to become you know, to be okay, to be safe. Yeah. It's the coping mechanisms of everyone that I see are really important. We don't want to get rid of them. I just want to give more, you know, more options.
Right.
And I know when you sit with someone for Enneagram, it's like you get a real sense, a very specific sense of what would be perfect for you in your essence, in the way to sort of unlock your fixation and come to your true self.
Yeah, and it's kind of simple. It's really not very complicated. You know, so a helper, a giver wants to be told they're kind. Well, good luck, because guess what? That's your essence. You are kind.
Yes.
That's your nature. A 7 isn't necessarily kind. An 8, a 9, a 1, a 5, they're not kind. That's not their essence, but it is your essence for a 2, and we want to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're offering the book, The Wisdom of the Enneagram, that will teach you all of this, plus the diagnostic, Nasima. Last 2 weeks ago, we did the show on the Enneagram, and we offered 2 diagnostics and the book for a premium of $55. The Wisdom of the Enneagram. For $125, you get those 3, and then you get a 30-minute evaluation with me where I can tell you what it looks like when you're under stress, when you might have been traumatized, or if you are living out trauma, and how you can get through it, how you can get over it. I think, by the way, your premium of mobilizing trauma is very effective, and this is a nice complement to Enneagram work.
Absolutely.
But what I will do is I will give people a map on how to walk through this trauma, and I'll give them materials to take away. So for $125, you get a 30-minute session with me, plus the book, The Wisdom of the Enneagram, and 2 diagnostics. We're going to play a little piece that we played a couple of weeks ago about this dilemma that the 2 finds themselves in. The 2 is one of these members of what we call the dutiful type people.
A person who feels, well, their duty is to take care of everyone,
mm-hmm.
to be the good friend, to take care of needs, to bake those cookies for the kids, to make sure that the other person's okay. Now, usually when we think of this type, we initially associate it with women, because it's sort of a role that women are expected to fulfill. And when we teach the Enneagram to people, a lot of women will initially identify as this type because they're expected to behave this way, whether that's their actual Enneagram type or not. But the particular thing here with twos is that
their superego message is that you can't be selfish.
Yeah.
You see, like for type one, the reformer, which we just talked about, you can't be wrong. You can't be imperfect. That's really the core of the superego message. For type two, it's you can't be selfish. You can't put yourself first. You can't acknowledge your own needs. Everyone else's needs have got to come before yours.
Well, that's right. They're also called the perennial giver.
The giver, yes. The caretaker.
The caretaker.
This is really the mother archetype. Huh?
And it's important. I think you make a very important point, Don. You can't recognize your own needs. You can only see the needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
I met a woman the other day who was saying to me she was taking care of a man who wasn't well. And she said, I'm looking at him every minute to see what he needs. And she said, but I'm like that. I'm always looking for what people need.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll go in a room and she'll go to a party.
Mm-hmm.
And the type one will go into a party, I guess, and say, what's wrong and what's right?
Mm-hmm.
She'll go into a party and say, what's needed?
What's needed? She can't help herself. And there's a trauma to that. I mean, he's basically, and they're all 3 of these guys, and by the way, there was the voice that we bring to you here when we can, especially during fun drives, and you will hear that on Peter Levine's interview, but here he's talking about you can't help yourself. When your startle response is so reactive because of trauma that you can't help yourself, that when you're under some kind of trauma and dissociation, you don't know who you really are.
Right.
So what the Enneagram teaches is how, what message you were given when you were young, before you were conscious, that you took inside of yourself and said, the only way I'm going to be acceptable in this world with people is if I act out this way. It's the only way. Mm-hmm. They don't see another way. So it's called the fixations in the Enneagram, and it's called the wisdom. The book is called The Wisdom of the Enneagram, because how do we get out of who we're not? The Enneagram teaches us what we're not, right? I mean, an alcoholic is not an alcoholic. There's a person behind the alcoholic.
Yeah.
And you see their disease, and you see them in their disease, and some people can and see beyond their disease and say, No, they're not their disease. You're not your fixation.
I really love this book as well. I have it myself because it does a really, really, I mean, amongst many other things, it goes through the types in a really cool way. And there's this one part that talks about warning flags and red flags.
Yes.
Warning signs and red flags. And it has that for every type. So every type has their specific things that they're looking at that kind of, there are these red flags that show, okay, you've reached probably one of the most dangerous points in your type.
Right.
Like for the sevens, red flags tend to be you're avoiding pain so much that that your activities end up actually bringing yourself pain and unhappiness.
Mm.
And you're gambling and you're
drinking.
You're
spreading yourself so thin.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jumping from pleasure to pleasure to pleasure.
Yeah, or the red flag fear for the two is that they're driving friends and loved ones away. And it's kind of like a way to check, okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm reaching
right.
like the bottom of what of what my personal style is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is like a really, really nice moment, because then they have something right after it's called the wake-up call.
Yes,
and
right.
you're like, okay, this is my wake-up
yeah.
call, and this is how I bounce back from this, you know, darker point in our life,
right.
which everyone, you know, tends to vacillate towards at one point in their life when things are not going well. And
yes.
It's really cool how it deals with that. I've showed this to dozens of my friends
yeah.
And family members, and it's really changed a lot of our ways of thinking about
and
ourselves.
Yeah,
this is a user-friendly book. You get to use this
yeah.
book, because the red flag fears say, I'm under more stress than I'm even aware of. I need to pay attention to this. The giver is giving all the time, and they're actually driving people away. Do you know people like this? Do you know
yeah.
somebody who's giving so much that they're driving you away from them? You are living in what's called the unhealthy levels. This is a wake-up call. This is a red flag. Your giving has gotten out of control. Your husband has comes home from rehab, and you buy a bottle of wine for him. You know, I mean, there's a giving, but, you know, what are you doing? This is an unhealthy red flag.
Yeah.
And you're driving people to their own unhealthiness. So
and the whole book kind of really categorizes qualities and ways that people have dealt with what the trauma was and how they've dealt with the trauma,
mm-hmm.
how they've coped with it. They haven't really dealt how they've been coping with it, and ways to move out of it. That's so specific. And so again, I find it so helpful in my work, and I know you find it like very helpful
yeah.
in your work to help people feel really seen and heard and understood in their specific, you know, problem, in their issue, in their pattern. I mean, that's the thing. Traumas have patterns, and the patterns keep repeating and repeating.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have an awareness of like what the pattern is, you'll just keep getting hit with it over and over again. And that's giving you such a wonderful sort of, you know, red
yeah.
flags. That's perfect. It's like, oh, wow.
And the book tells you, Nassima, directions that you need to go in.
Yeah, it's kind of a roadmap.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're
yeah.
in the unhealthy levels of the two, that you should go towards the energy of the four, which is the artist type, and
mm-hmm.
spend time creating, doing for yourself, feeling grounded in life. If you're a one, you want to go towards seven, which is being more playful, more engaged, having
yeah.
fun, because the one is so stuck on finding mistakes and problems and being
yeah.
perfectionistic, that the book will tell you, no, when you're in these levels, you need to go out to a movie. You need to
right.
engage friends. You need to do something that's fun and surprising.
Yeah.
For the five, you go towards the energy of the eight. You become, instead of in your withdrawn world, you go into being out there with people.
Yeah, if at all you're interested in learning more about the Enneagram or exploring your type, this is definitely my favorite book
yeah,
about the Enneagram. It goes the most in depth, and it's also just kind of like a Bible of the Enneagram. It really explains everything.
These guys are pioneers.
Yeah, and also alongside that, for the $55 donation to WBAI, if you call 212-757-4488, you get two diagnostic tests, which actually they go for like $15 each. They're really
mm-hmm.
they're really nice little blue booklet, and you can it's a kind of ritual
yeah.
experience to really spend the time. It's 144 questions. You learn a lot about yourself through the process. We have a
shorter version because
right.
we want people to go to the chapters right away.
All right,
we
so
don't
you
want
actually leave it
because
be
that
faster.
That long test, and that's a good one too. And that's, by the way, is a $35.
Oh, okay.
I think
go.
Our test, the one we came up with, is a $15 value, and that's with plus an additional one is another 15.
Nonetheless, what I'm saying is learning about yourself throughout the process.
The ones that we are including here are user-friendly and help you immediately identify yourself so you can go to only the chapter you want or somebody in your life. I mean,
yeah.
In these clips that we played last 2 weeks ago, you know, Armand is saying, I finally figured out who my dad is. He's a number six, and now I don't have to be bothered by his behavior anymore. I get it. That's who he is.
Yeah, it's amazing. Once you figure out the types of the people that you are close to, you start realizing, okay, what do they actually need from me? Or how do they love? Yeah. What are they afraid of from me? You know, it's a lot of really beautiful stuff. It feels like a psychic power or something like that. You know? It feels like you've got that.
So we'll offer. Go ahead. Sorry.
I want to just give a shout out to Laura and Heidi who called in and supported us. Thank you so much.
212-757-4488. I hope we heard from Peter C., not Peter S., but Peter C., 212-757-4488. We are trying during our fund drives to give you an experience. Nassim is offering you an experience of mobilizing whatever trauma you might have experienced,
right.
Any of the adverse childhood experiences you might have had. The list of them is on our website, thepositivemindcenter.com. See if you have a vulnerability. Somebody might have said, you know, you're a little too tense lately. You've been distracted and hyper aroused and hyper vigilant.
Go get
this biofeedback session and this somatic experience session, which is the two of them combined.
You get the biofeedback.
It's got to be a $350 value. For $125, you get that experience with Nassima and the book Waking the Tiger, the Bible on trauma, and the interview with Peter Levine with Armand DeMille. That's $125. I'm trying to give people the experience of when they're in these red flags, when they're in this disease, when they're in this fixation, the best way that they can take care of themselves, the best way they can get back to their set point, their central point. It strikes me, Nassima, we're both trying to do the same thing. We're both trying to return people to their best sense of themselves,
right.
So that they can pay attention to life.
And you're offering two different ways to sort of deal with it.
Two ways.
If you're interested in...
And they're complementary, so you can
absolutely.
Have all of it if you want.
Yeah, you know, if you're interested in...
If you're a couple, you do the Enneagram one, your wife can do the Nassima one, and you both come back and share notes.
Yeah.
I'm going to give people handouts, about 3 pages of handouts. You're going to give people 60 minutes worth of experiences.
Right.
And tools.
And as a partnership, you can go home at night and talk about what we learned and thank WBAI, because BAI is giving you that $250 value.
Right.
Kevin
and Nassima here are very gratefully donating their time to WBAI, to keeping the Positive Mind on the radio, to keeping WBAI on your airwaves. That's what this fun drive time is. And that's why we're doing this extended show today and offering
you
these
BAI
wonderful things.
Thank you for letting us do the extended show. They want you to have an experience also. BAI, we often give you so much information. During fund drives, we like to give you an experience.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving you a very basic value experience for $125.
Yeah.
Both of us, graduate school, licensed New York counselors and therapists, Nassima somatic experience, which is a very grueling course of study. You went out to California a number of times.
Yeah.
To get this and to have immediate experience with Peter Levine yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So for $125, BAI is offering you this tremendous bargain. 212-757-4488.
212-757-4488. A $125 donation can get you either a 30-minute session with Kevin, the Wisdom of the Enneagram book, alongside two diagnostic tests, and for that same donation price, or you can do $250 for both, you can get the 60-minute somatic session with Nassima, and also this incredible book, Waking the Tiger, Healing Trauma by Peter Levine. Now, this is the stuff we've been talking today. And also, if you want to donate a little bit less and you're just interested in some reading material, some listening material, we're offering for $55 donation the Wisdom of the Enneagram book and two diagnostic tests, which is an incredible book. I can't swear by this book more. I have it on my on my desk at all times.
Yeah.
I truly. And then $40 for Waking the Tiger, Healing Trauma by Peter Levine, alongside a digital download of a very rare interview from 2006 with Armand DeMille and Peter Levine. So this is all stuff. I know it's a lot coming at you. A lot of these premiums, are they out here to support WBAI, put your money to good use, and also really learn a lot about yourself, the trauma that you may have had in your past, or just understanding your own personality a little bit more.
Yeah, we really want to help you learn to help yourself, to feel better in life, to make your life as like wide and with as much potential and possibility as possible.
With your eyes open.
With your eyes open, your heart open and relaxed.
Yeah. Give a call.
I want to say something about the phones. If they're backed up, you can call us after the show. We will be here till 6 o'clock. 212-757. Nisima, chime in.
4488.
One more time. 212-757-4488. Louis, you're doing a great job. Thank you for handling the phones.
Yeah,
if it's busy, call us back.
Leave a message and call back.
Before we go, I want to get into... I'm just going to read these out for people because, you know, we focus on the negatives of the Enneagram and with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell people, you know, there's an essence to you. So there's an essence of kindness to the two. There's an essence of loving for the three. There's an essence of joy for the artist, the one who's caught in melancholy. There's an essence of peace for the observer who's constantly seeking and reading and learning. There's an essence of just pure centrality and intelligence for the six, who's always nervous about security. There's a total sense of absorption in life for the seven, the one who's always jumping from pleasure to pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Can actually, their essence is to take in whatever they're experiencing and be absorbed. For the eight, this boss mentality, there's a cosmic power. That's your essence. You were meant to live out this cosmic power. And for the nine, your awareness, you know, the nine can fall into this sloth, this laziness, this dissociation from their own needs, and yet their essence is pure awareness. And the last one, the one who's always fixated on mistakes and perfectionism, the essence is a purity.
Yeah, if you take any of those types and you hear any of that and that resonates with you, make sure to call in 212-757-4488. Donate $55 for the book Wisdom of the Enneagram and two diagnostic tests. Figure out which type you are. Finally, it's so wonderful to figure that out and learn about that. And $125 if you want to dive a little deeper in with Kevin, our very own Kevin O'Donohue here, with a 30-minute session and that book and those two diagnostic tests.
I love these 30-minute sessions, Julian, because one of the things I focus on is, okay, what's great about being you? What's great about being a two or a seven or an eight? What's good about it? Because there's a lot of good to it. And how? And I also go into this, how do you nurture yourself? How do you spend time with yourself? What are the specific steps you take to nurture and enrich and deepen yourself? That's what nurturing means, to deepen our sense of aliveness. So I have handouts with that. And I also... the directions that you can go in when you feel stress. What are the signs of stress? These red flags. Julian, we have a handout for that. I do that during the half hour.
Yeah.
And what direction you can go in. What chapter you need to read if you've got the book, and how you can use the techniques in the book and those other chapters to help yourself. Well, 212-757-4488. Julian, I want to thank you for being back.
Oh, thanks for
You will be here next week with us, too.
It was awesome to be back here. Thank you for listening to The Positive Mind.
Yeah.
All of our listeners out there for this special two-hour extended edition. And sorry, Kevin and Amina.
No. I just wanted to let the audience know, yes, he will be back with us next week. We appreciate you helping us out now. And we do need your contributions, so please keep calling us through the hour at 6 o'clock.
Absolutely.
212-757-4488.
Our show is just reaching an end here. Here's a little bit of more Marvin Gaye for you, Save the Children. And thank you for listening to The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, New York City.
Save the world. to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow. What a shame.
Such a bad
way to live.
Just to
blame. Is to blame.
We can't stop.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live
for life.
Live life
for the children. Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See.
Save a world that is destined to die.